Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here, and with me is, fresh from his championship run for meeting the most race kicks while riding a unicycle, Justin Cavender. How the hell are you doing today?
I'm fabulous, thank you.
And the man who's seen the 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Free trailer about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every time, Randy Van Dyke. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Can't get enough of that BDSM.
Wait, is Call of Duty Shades Freed?
Freed, yes.
I didn't even know that.
And the trailer is, like, such a mess. It's, like, it reminds me of, like, the old Harry Potter where he's, like, I love magic. And, like, she's, like, surprised. Like, you, like she gets on, like, a private jet. This is your jet? You know you're married to a billionaire now, you stupid idiot.
That's funny.
I can't believe anyone will watch these movies. Like, ooh, they are the worst.
Millions flock.
Like, aside from Transformers, The Last Night, they are the worst movie.
Ooh.
They're not good. But Randy's going to go see Last Night because Justin and I said it was terrible. So now Randy's like, I got to see this shit.
He has to punish himself.
I know. I'm like that guy from that Da Vinci Code movie.
I was just thinking that. Just whipping himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. I have one of those.
I have no doubt that you do.
True story. I'll send you photographs.
Someone tells me we may have already seen some of those photographs.
I like it. Well, speaking of abusing oneself, I guess we'll just jump right into the big story. Last week, Colin Trevorrow was released from his commitment to directing Star Wars Episode 9, the follow-up to Rian Johnson's highly anticipated The Last Jedi, which comes out in December. And we talked on the podcast last week about who we thought we should do. We all had some great ideas and some insightful directors and how wonderful it would be if any of those people were chosen. And then we all kind of ended it with, but they're going to fucking hire Abrams and it's going to suck. And that's what they did. J.J. Abrams is going to return to direct the final installment of the new trilogy. And I guess we'll just start off, Justin. What are your thoughts? I mean, we kind of called it. Is this a surprise? Are you upset about it? Do you wish it was something else?
I don't know. I was thinking about this all day long. I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to talk about this on the show. But my only real gleam of hope is that he sort of has the hindsight to right any wrongs that he feels he might have done with Episode 7. And I feel like now this is the opportunity for him to sort of make good and maybe take a little bit more risk and maybe even reward the fans. I doubt that'll happen, but I think the opportunity is there.
Yeah, I like that. I was kind of hoping the same kind of thing, like maybe he saw what worked and what didn't work with his interpretation of The Force Awakens, so maybe he'll be able to tweak it. But Randy, what are your thoughts of Mr. Abrams re-entering the galaxy far, far away?
Well, David.
Oh, shit, use my name.
Use your name.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. That fucking guy. All right. Okay, let's transport ourselves to the first time we saw The Force Awakens.
Ooh, okay.
You know, of the many things that we absorbed and maybe looked over that time, it wasn't until a second viewing that I realized that Chewbacca totally snubs fucking Princess Leia after Han dies, and he just, like, walks right on by. Now, granted, she hugs and consoles Rey, somebody she's, like, met for 2 seconds, but Chewbacca, somebody that she has known since the fucking beginning, she just snubs him. And that is a problem that could have been fixed by somebody helming the movie who had an inkling of Star Wars fandom within him and not the fake Star Wars fandom that I think J.J. Abrams says he has for Star Wars.
Oh, so shit, fired.
I say, you know, he is a talented guy. There's no getting around that. And I have enjoyed several of his movies. But at the prospect of him returning to Star Wars for Episode 9, I say in that context, fuck that guy.
He did apologize and has admitted that that was a glaring, just uber fuck up. And like that. So I do have, I do give him some semblance of credit that like he recognized, like, I don't even think he'd recognize it on set, but once people pointed out, he's like, wow, I fucked up. So maybe that has a glimmer of hope. I share the same a similar sentiment to Randy. I've been pretty critical of Mr. Abrams over the years, not Zack Snyder critical, but what J.J. Abrams does amazing is he's a mystery box filmmaker, meaning that it's a huge buzzword right now, mystery box, is that he likes to he likes to set things up for you, like who is Snoke, who is Rey's parents. He likes to open this box and have you just guess. Lost was big on this, you know, Alias, all of his shows and his TV and his movies are really big on giving you all of these questions and then having a pace of the film which is so fast you don't have time to like reflect that, like, oh, this movie is spectacularly mediocre. And so because he likes to give these questions and he never really answers them in any of his movies, my fear is that I don't know if he's the guy to like bring this saga to an end, because, you know, we've probably almost every podcast we've either asked who's Snoke or who's Rey, and you know, and that's great. In some ways, that's great that he's making us think about things and he's not spoon feeding us the answers. But you know, take a movie like Super 8. Super 8 is meant to be a love letter to Steven Spielberg, and if you watch the trailers or if you've only seen a couple minutes of it, you would think that this is the second coming of Steven Spielberg. But the movie is horrifically flawed because it doesn't answer any of the questions that it puts forward. It doesn't give you enough information to glean the answers on your own, and the characters are all paper thin. You know, take someone like Phasma. You know, she's the perfect embodiment of a J.J. Abrams character. Looks awesome, bitchin' toy, has a ton of potential, but completely wasted in the hands of J.J. Abrams. You know, you could say the same for Snoke, but I understand that, you know, Snoke's someone that we're going to get to later on down the road. And my biggest complaint when I watched Force Awakens was that it seemed to shit on the original trilogy. And Abrams seemed to go out of his way to impart himself into the Star Wars lore. You know, he moved the capital from Coruscant to Hosnian Prime. And while it doesn't seem like a big deal, it just seems that he wanted to distance himself from anything that was established in Star Wars canon. And by doing that with planets and races and all this stuff, what's to stop him from doing it with characters? We saw how he used Luke Skywalker. Out of the big three, he wasted like one of the most iconic people in cinema. He wasted. I mean, if someone gave you this movie and said you get to have Luke Skywalker in your movie, you're not going to put him in your movie. Granted, he gave us a great Han Solo. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of that falls on Harrison Ford. Leia was fine, but I don't see the character development, especially in the original trilogy. It's total member berries, and South Park did a whole season on Force Awakens not being a good movie. And so that's my fear, is that, yeah.
And he's writing it too? He's co-writing it or writing it?
Yeah, so he's co-writing it with Chris Terrio, who wrote such classics as Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, the new Justice League movie. He does have an Academy Award for co-writing Argo, but who knows, you know,
Argo, Ben Affleck. Fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So he's not really the director that would inspire the confidence you would hope.
Did he write Transformers The Last Night?
He did not, which is a feather in his cap.
Everyone should just put that on their resume. I did not write Transformers The Last Night.
But it's interesting. I got the impression from some of the interviews that they may have offered Rian Johnson the job, and he turned them down, basically saying that, you know, yeah, he's tired. He doesn't want to jump right back into this 2-year cycle of making another Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I saw something to the effect where he said that he's looking forward to being an audience member again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's great. And I mean, I would never begrudge him. And who knows? We haven't seen The Last Jedi. For all we know, The Last Jedi could suck 12 dicks and we'll be like, oh man, Dodge to blow with Abrams coming back.
You say that like that's a bad thing.
Well, you know, 12's a lot.
Like, that is a lot.
Like, I'm a 1 to 10 kind of guy.
I suppose.
Yeah, 10. I was just going to say, 10's his limit. See, I know you. I know your limits. That's good. The sign of a good friend.
You know my body, dude. Also with the news that Abrams is going to be taking over as the director and co-writer for Star Wars Episode 9, they got a new release date. So instead of being released in May, it was going to be May 29th, 2019. It is now going to be December 20th, 2019.
Which we also called on last week's podcast.
We are, we see the future.
We're very astute.
We are. And it creates a very log-jammed holiday weekend, which log is Rand's favorite kind of holiday weekends.
Carl Hungus.
When Lucasfilm made the announcement that they were going to switch to May for Han Solo and for Episode 9, all the studios got excited because Star Wars has made this huge event out of December, and so they were all going to fill the holes that Disney left behind. Not in Disney's behind, Randy, so calm down. Aladdin was going to come out in December, and so Aladdin and Star Wars have basically switched. So Aladdin is now going to come out in May. Star Wars will come out in December. Wonder Woman 2 is slated to come out on December 13th, 1 week before Episode 9. The Wicked musical is scheduled to come out on that same day, on the 20th. And Masters of the Universe, if you know that becomes a
thing, yeah, right,
is scheduled to come out on December 18th, 2 days before that. And then Sony Animation has a big movie they haven't released the title for yet that's supposed to come out on Christmas. My guess is that every single one of those movies, including Wonder Woman 2, will move their release date just to get out of the way. Not only is it Star Wars, it's the end of a trilogy. I think that nobody wants any part of that. What do you think, Randy? Do you think people are going to stick around and try to get some of the residual like fall off, or you think they're just going to be like, it's yours, guys?
Yeah, I agree. I think if they're smart, they're going to move. There's only so much runoff they can get from sold-out Star Wars screenings. And do movies really get sold out much beyond like the first weekend anymore these days? I don't really think so. There's so many screens playing it all over the place. They can't even count on runoff money. So, yeah, if they're smart, they're going to reschedule.
Well, down here, they seem to all sell out because they're all like reserve seating and they're all the recliners, so there's less seats. So, like, I don't know, around my area, like it's hard to like see a movie nowadays. Like, especially opening weekend, it's always jam-packed.
Well, there's usually, like, four or five screens playing if it's, like, something really big, if it's a tentpole movie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say you want to go at, like, 7 o'clock. 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock, and 8:15 might be sold out, but you could probably get in at 8:30 if you try. So, it's just a matter of proper planning.
Just send your sights low. Can't see it at 7, but 8:30 is free. 2 days from now.
Yeah. Yeah, a movie like Star Wars, though, that where tickets do go on sale typically months in advance. Yeah, those, like an entire weekend is going to get blocked out pretty quick. But I don't know. I just think they should not even anger the beast that is Disney/Lucasfilm.
Taste the just beast.
Steer clear.
Justin, do you think that, you know, Disney's gotten a lot of bad press with Star Wars lately. Do you think that they're going to surprise us all and release a trailer in the next couple days so we forget about this? Like, we get the buzz, everyone's talking about it, everyone's kind of, like, mixed on it, but now we drop this trailer, and so that, it just changes the narrative. So do you think, like, it's possible in the next week or so we just get a surprise Episode 9 trailer?
I think that's a very valid point.
Episode 8, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that, but as you were speaking, my face just sort of lit up. I was like, yeah, more Star Wars, let's do something good. Yeah, I think that would be a fantastic idea, and show some Luke Skywalker action or show something that would whet my whistle.
Yeah, like I'll take. Give me a lightsaber for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I would love you mentioned all these different releases. Well, I honestly don't think that we will ever get another He-Man movie in our lifetime, or the next. I think it would be a good idea for Wonder Woman to actually move up instead of be pushed back. I think that DC should strike while the iron's hot on that one and just sort of bump up the timetable a little bit.
Yeah, I think that'd be smart. Yeah, kind of Justice League's coming out in November. I mean, assuming Justice League does well, which I can't imagine it doesn't do well, they can kind of set that as their like Thanksgiving. I mean, that's what Harry Potter did. Before it eventually went to June, but it kind of ruled that November box office for a couple years.
Yeah.
And that's Warner Brothers as well. So Warner Brothers has a kind of a history of hanging around that point. And so, yeah, so I think that could work. But, yeah, anything else on Star Wars, Justin, you can think of?
I don't think so, no. I'm excited. What about you, Randy? I mean, I'm excited that we're already talking about episode 9. When no. 8 hasn't even come out yet. It's the
much less a trailer.
Right. It's the Age of Ultron and we want Civil War mentality. It's like, just fucking give us the next one. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, that's the culture Disney created with Marvel. It's like, it's who cares what you're doing now? What else you got? Randy, as a brand, how many more hits can Star Wars take before it becomes like a Batman scenario to where we're just like, fuck, is anything going right on these movies?
I think it's going to take quite a while for the train to go that far off the track. It may sound like between copious reshoots and director changes and things like that, it sounds like they're kind of losing control, but I think what it is just Kathleen Kennedy really flexing her muscle and demonstrating her control and doing it for the right reasons. And so far, it's all worked out pretty well. So I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Well, do you think that kind of goodwill, Justin, will last as long as they keep making good movies, and the second a stinker comes out, then it's going to be like, fucking Kathleen Kennedy?
I mean, she's been making movies since before I was born, so I think she's got the world figured out. I don't think she has anything to worry about. And,
yeah, her track record's pretty unchallenged.
Yeah, and, you know, we can bitch about the direction that Star Wars has gone, but I don't know if anything really tops that sort of excitement of just sort of going to the movies and sitting there and waiting for it to start and then the crawl coming up. Like, that itself is just so much of the Star Wars experience that it's kind of helps kind of get rid of the horrible and watch it. I mean, even when I watched episode 7, I was like, yeah, it's all right. But I mean, when I first walked out of the theater, I was like, oh, that was kind of cool. And then after I had a moment to digest what I saw, then I started to not like it. So, I mean, in the end, no matter what, I'm going to be super pumped to see it. I'm going to be super excited while I'm watching it, and it won't be till afterwards that I have a problem with it. It's like when you go to your favorite like restaurant that is probably going to do damage to your stomach. You don't really care at the time. You're just like, give me all this horrible food. I can't wait to eat it. It's going to be amazing. And then you spend the rest of your night in the bathroom.
Yeah, I want another basket of chips.
It's kind of how that works.
Yeah, I remember being in the theater for episode 7, right as the lights were dim, like, holy shit, I'm going to see another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Like you know, I think all of us after episode 3 just resigned us to the fact that, well, that's all we get. You know, now we'll get like movie or TV shows and video games and comic books and stuff. But yeah, I mean, you can't match the excitement that once Star Wars returns. But having said that, I think that a lot of people are using the word safe, that Abrams is a safe choice. You know, he's worked within the system for Lucasfilm. Kennedy knows she can work with them. There's not going to be kind of Lord or Miller issues with him. Do you think that, so Justin, do you think by choosing the safe bet, is this signifying that obviously this is a business? Disney wants to make money. They spend a ton of money to get Star Wars. Does this signify to you Disney's desire to make Star Wars more a brand and less of a unique filmmaking experience?
Yes.
More and is that a good brand?
Well, for them, yeah. And I think for kids, yes. But for us adults, probably not so much. The longtime fans. I know for a fact that my niece and nephew and probably your kids just love the shit out of everything Star Wars. So as far as they're concerned, it doesn't really matter. But for the three of us, it's a bad thing.
Yeah. So kind of twisting it a little bit for you, Randy, does them making brands, I mean, by doing that, they'll ensure the longevity of Star Wars, and it'll increase the amount of Star Wars we get in the movies and TV shows and stuff like that. Can this be a positive by them making it a brand and making it something that'll last forever? does that just give them more opportunities to one day make something that's going to amaze us and remind us of the original trilogy or those member berries just because it's going to go on for so long?
I honestly don't know if it's ever going to get better. I think it might just, it might follow the law of diminishing returns. You know, it's like, we're excited now. We're going to be excited for a little while, but it's going to taper off, I think. I don't think they can sustain that kind of excitement and that kind of quality. Eventually, Star Wars movies will stop making money, and they'll stop making them. It's my prediction. You heard it here first.
So you don't think that by becoming such a big established brand, like almost like a Marvel, that maybe they can take a chance? Like how Marvel is an established brand, you know, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel in the cinematic universe, but you know, they did give us, like, they took a chance and made a show like Daredevil or, you know, something
even
like
Guardians.
That.
I think they took a chance at Guardians.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of went a different direction and they tried something new. Do you not see a scenario to where now that they have the Disney Network that maybe they might try to make, you know, like an Underworld show or something with like bounty hunters or something a little more edgy to kind of try to satisfy old school fans? Or you think it's all going to be kids shows and lollipops?
Lollipops inside the kids?
Sure. Whatever floats your boat, man.
You got, how many licks does it take to get to the center? All right. I don't know. You know, if they stray outside of the normal timeline and did stuff like way far outside of the time periods, yes, that we're familiar with, and stuff like the Old Republic or even stuff that takes place generations after the Skywalker saga, that kind of thing, that would be interesting. And I think that could last for a while. And when I say that it'll eventually peter off, I'm talking about like decades. You know, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Tomorrow.
There's enough material to mine to keep things interesting, and there's enough old school fans that have been around since the beginning. And honestly, you know, once our generation starts dying off, the original generation of Star Wars fans, you know, people in their 30s and 40s and above, once we start dying off, the nostalgia isn't necessarily going to be the same. Sure, there's going to be the people that grew up in the 90s with the prequels, but, you know, is the pull of Star Wars as strong for them as it was for us? I don't know, maybe. What about the people now, like the millennials that are growing up with the J.J. Abrams Star Wars incarnation? You know, are they going to have the same, are they going to hold a candle for it the same way that we do the original trilogy? Back then, you had a handful of movies that came out during the summer, and you usually saw one movie 10 times, you know. It wasn't unusual. Now, there's shit coming out constantly. There's media to consume everywhere. People don't treat movies the same way. So are they going to idolize them? Are they going to, are they still going to love and cherish these things the same way that we do? I don't think so. I think it's going to die out eventually. It's just going to take some time.
I plan to live 40 more years, Randy.
I got a few left in me.
It's a lot of Star Wars.
Yeah, that is a lot of Star Wars. I mean, it's definitely true. You know, I read a real interesting article about like collecting, and it was based off people who collected like old video games and stuff like that. But it worked for toys and stuff too. Is that, you know, the value of something will reach a zenith because at a certain point, everyone who wants it either has it or has been priced out of it. And the generation after you is not going to be interested. Eventually, the people who do own the stuff will die out or lose interest and sell their collections and stuff like that, to where there's a finite number of collectors, and eventually that product will merge, make their way through a lot of their hands. And so all these things that, you know, we spend all this money on, you know, in 50 years will be useless. We'll have no value, which is very sad.
It's already useless for me. I was going through all the toys that Randy and I have got at either like Frankenstein's or on our crazy little toy hunts that we used to do on the weekends or after work. And for me, like looking back at it, like I look at something and yeah, I could throw it on Craigslist or yeah, I could throw it on eBay and get whatever, $20, $30. But for me, the value was driving around together and finding it. And I shouldn't even have bought it. Just finding it would have been the real thing. But like, looking back on it, I don't even consider it, you know, like a waste of money because it was so fun to do that. So when I was giving all my toys away to like coworkers in the last couple months, just unloading everything I had, it was like just a giveaway. It was so fun to see people's faces like light up, like, oh my God, are you really giving me this? I'm like, yeah, dude. I had the same look on my face when I found it in the toy store, so it's all yours. And to me, that was the coolest part. So there's no real way to put, you know, a monetary value for me on my collectibles. It was all about the experience and finding it.
Yeah. I started taking a picture of all of my stuff and that I was selling and stuff, and just same thing, just remember, like, oh, I remember I got this at Target, and I fought some guy because he thought I stole it out of his cart, blah, 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 blah. Right. You know? Cool stories.
I have a similar Star Wars Battlefront 2 story.
Was it Battlefront 2? Was that or was it Battlefront 1?
That was Battlefront 1.
When we
it was Battlefront 2. And this is the original Battlefront, not the new Battlefront games.
Right. Where the lady at Best Buy put it down for a second?
Yeah, like the display, like this giant cardboard stand-up display of Battlefront 2 games was completely empty. It was release day, and I didn't do the midnight thing, and I'm rolling up thinking, well, maybe they've got one left. So I'm at Best Buy, and lo and behold, display was empty. But I saw this woman pushing around a shopping cart, and in the little top section, there was a copy of the game. And she leaves her shopping cart and wanders off, and I wait a few seconds. I'm like, is she going to come back? Maybe she just walked away from her cart, and she has no intention of buying all this stuff. These are the thoughts that go through your mind when you know you're doing something wrong and you're trying to justify it to yourself.
And it was in the middle of nowhere. Like, it wasn't like your local Best Buy. Like, you had, like, called, and we found it at, like, a Best Buy in, like, Rancho Cucamonga or somewhere in BFE.
Yeah. And I'm like, looking both ways, yoink, out of the cart, run into the register, out to the car. But it's okay because karma caught up with me. So I spend the next several hours over at David's place, and we were playing and having a great time with the game. Then I go out to my car to find out that it had been broken into, and they stole a PlayStation controller and all the change out of my ashtray. So it's a bunch of damn kids.
And the old Geo Metro.
The old Geo Metro.
Oh, man, yeah. I remember that, the red one.
Yep, little red eggshell of a car.
I remember when you got your Explorer and we watched it drive away on the truck. It was all sad.
Oh, sad.
I was happy to see it go.
No doubt.
Yeah, you just took the license plate frame off of it, right?
That's, yeah,
it.
You know,
Jedi film.
Yeah, the actual license plate, which I think is illegal. I wasn't supposed to do it, but I still have those license plates to this day. I have them in my garage in a box.
That's rad.
Huh.
You are a sneaky sneak, Mr. Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Stealing video games, really stealing license plates. Just a little klepto.
Got everyone fooled, Randy.
You're real creep, you know?
Everyone's like, oh,
you're real son of a bitch.
You swindler. You scoundrel. You are the Han Solo.
Speaking of swindlers and scoundrels and directors who suck.
Whoa.
Did you guys hear that Zack Snyder's not going to do press for Justice League?
Oh, that's sad.
Is it?
I think so. I mean, I obviously have no idea what he's going through. But I always can appreciate when a filmmaker can stand by their project. And that makes me sad that he's not there.
Do you have any thoughts on why he might not want to show up, Justin?
Probably the questions that people are going to ask him.
Dude, but do you think it's like, why is your film suck? Or do you think they're going to ask him questions like, well, how much did Joss Whedon do for you?
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's any, I don't know if there's any easy questions for that, because no one wants to ask the easy ones. They want to know the tell-all book on what happened. And I just don't think it's appropriate at this time. So it makes sense he's not there. I'm just sad that of the circumstances that take him away from it. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's definitely touchy. I mean, we're lucky that, you know, the movie is an ensemble, so there will be 6 cast members. You know, of them, you know, several of them high profile. So that might take some of this. Randy, as a artist. Or would you be more accepting if he's not doing it for personal reasons. Like, you know, no one would ever fault him if he's still going through a lot because of the tragedy that happened to his daughter. Is that acceptable? And is it, if it was just fear of he doesn't want to answer questions about Joss Whedon, or he's not happy with the film and doesn't want to answer, like, why do you suck questions, is that a good enough reason not to do press? Or do you think if it were for a professional reason, he has an obligation to show up, and but for a personal, he gets a pass?
This question is for Zack Snyder. Why do you suck?
You did it wrong. You got to go up and say your full name and your outlet.
Yeah, David Edmondson, Geek Legacy. This is for Zack Snyder. Can you tell me why exactly you suck as a filmmaker? I mean, I know the answer, but I want to know what you think is the answer.
I want to hear it out of your mouth.
Actually, this question's for Debbie Snyder. Does your husband suck at everything or just filmmaking?
You're the worst. Anyway, Randy, I'm sorry. Floor is all yours.
I don't even remember what
the question was. Is it except? I mean, no one can fault him if it was for personal reasons
for not showing up.
But yeah. Would it be acceptable if none of that had happened and he just was afraid to, like, face the music?
I think if it's for personal reasons, it's fine. And honestly, maybe this falls under the personal category too. Maybe he just associates that movie with that time in his life, and he just doesn't want to think about it. You know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Whether he feels that he's healed from that scenario or not, you know, maybe that movie just takes him back to that same grief they felt when it happened. You know, so who knows? But I'm going to say whatever it is, I'm going to err on the side of it's probably for personal reasons. Just give him a little bit of space. It's cool.
Yeah, and he's in a no-win situation. If the movie is great, everyone's going to give credit to Joss Whedon. If the movie sucks, everyone's going to be like, well, Joss did what he could.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really, Zack Snyder is in a terrible place with this movie. I mean, we know, the plus side, we know he is going to be the sole director credited on the film. Joss Whedon's going to get a written by credit. He's not going to get a directed by credit. So at least his name will be on it. We won't know till November if that's a good thing or bad thing. I can't imagine. I mean, it has to be fun, right? It can't be that bad.
I think it's going to be fantastic.
I'm with you on that. I'm rooting for Mr. Snyder. I never want him not to make a good movie. Just
God. Dude, do you remember when we first got the trailer for Man of Steel? And yep, we were all so fucking excited for that movie. We were like, oh my God, this is going to be the best movie ever. I can't wait to see it. And then you guys went to that screening, and you were so mad.
I remember leaving, I'm like, what did you think? Like, this was movies, like, I couldn't put in the thought, and Randy's like, yeah, it's fine.
It was a really good trailer, though.
Yeah, it had that Hans Zimmer score, and the score for that movie, that thing's pretty cool. But
yeah, score is great, but
eventually, Zack Snyder's it. Mm.
You know, it's funny you say that. When we got done watching Dunkirk in San Diego, and Randy asked how was it, and you said it was something to the effect of the most.
I can go ahead. I can tell you the exact quote. It's the most directory directed movie ever directed by a director.
Did you end up seeing it, right, Randy?
Oh yeah, I saw it.
And is that not the most apt description of that movie?
I mean, yeah, he not only did he put his stank on it, he like took out his balls, rubbed them all over that thing, and then just like stared you in the eyes with that uncomfortable eye contact.
Right.
The only thing that could have made it more Christopher Nolan is if he played all the parts, like Eddie Murphy and like Norbit or something.
Well,
that's right. I could have went Coming to America, but I went Norbit.
That's fine. We have been making a sort of a Marvel movie night every Wednesday, and we just watched Avengers. We're watching them in order, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and we watched Avengers last Wednesday, and that whole scene where Black Widow is talking to Loki and talking about Red and her ledger. Like, yeah. All I could think about was, oh my God, this is totally Joss Whedon talking right now. that's like, and then I thought of Dunkirk, and I couldn't stop laughing. Everyone's trying to enjoy the movie, and I'm just sitting in the corner like an asshole laughing my head off.
That movie takes a while to get started.
It does. You're right. You could skip right to the end when the
right to New York.
Yeah, and just enjoy it. Or even the Hello Kitty, the carrier getting attacked, because that's when Hulk comes out. That's pretty cool too.
Yeah, and that's when Coulson dies. Or you can't see my air quotes.
Yeah.
Randy, you watch Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. singular. Is that Coulson? Is it a clone of Coulson? Did they ever explain that? Why? How he did die?
Is he alive? I don't think it's ever been completely explained, but I think it is a clone.
Yeah, I don't watch it.
Clone or reanimated or something like that. There's a whole thing.
Sort of Weekend at Bernie's situation.
He's got like this bionic arm now.
What?
Yeah, because he lost an arm.
He can't get his shit together. S.H.I.E.L.D. was always big on LMDs, life model decoys. So maybe that's what he is. He's a robot.
They kind of went into that this past season, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Agent May was a LMD for the majority of the season.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Crazy talk. You know what else is crazy? It made like $726 trillion this weekend. It got Justin's money, and he can't stop telling us how great it is. Justin.
it's fantastic. Loved every second of it. Total spoiler-free. It is quite a delicious romp, as it were.
Delicious.
Yes. I say that because things get eaten. it was just a lot of fun. And it was weird because I'm in a theater full of adults and we're all just screaming like we're little kids, just terrified. And we're all laughing after we get scared because we can't believe we got scared. And I know several people that saw it over the course of the weekend, and everybody has nothing but wonderful things to say about it. So fantastic. Awesome job. This is one of those examples where a remake isn't a bad thing. And I can argue tooth and nail that it's always a good thing with horror movies. And I think comedy can be timeless, but the general campiness that comes with horror, it needs to be updated for the modern audience. And if you were to pop in the original made-for-TV It movie right now, you would laugh your ass off at how cheesy it is. But if you were to watch this one, you would pee your pants a little bit.
Watch this one, and the other one looks like a spoof.
Yes, it really does.
You're waiting for Leslie Nielsen to come out.
But I can't say enough about it. Loved every second of it, and I cannot wait for the follow-up.
Nice. Broke every record. Highest grossing film of all time that came out in September, starring a clown.
That's two letters.
but we know that, so there's going to be a sequel. It's going to come out in 2019. They're trying to lock down everybody to come back. Now, does this It have a satisfactory like story through line? Like, has a beginning, a middle, an end?
It does. It does.
Okay.
Because the made-for-TV movie is told in sort of a non-linear fashion. It jumps from the characters being kids to adults to kids to adults, and the first half of the movie, while mostly kids, does have them as adults, and then the latter half of the movie has them mostly as all adults in the made-for-TV movie. In this one, it is 100% linear. They start as kids, it ends as kids, and we'll just have to jump forward 27 years. It comes out every 27 years to feed.
Well, so they don't. So I guess that means they can't. So you can't kill it.
Nope. Well, I mean, I don't know.
You can defeat it.
Yeah. Oh. Ward it off.
Oh, okay.
Get a citronella candle.
Now, as such a fan of It, does it make you sick to know that it will never make half as much money as the cinematic masterpiece that is Despicable Me 3? Does that upset you?
I wouldn't say it upsets me, but I do find it curious.
Randy, you saw Despicable Me 3. I know you're a huge fan of Gru and the Minions. How's this fucking movie still making so much money? It was terrible. Are kids just dumb?
It's kids. It's got to be kids.
They're so dumb.
The worst.
And for the record, I have never seen any of the Despicable Me movies or the Minion movie.
Randy, you're with friends. You don't have to lie.
I like the first one.
Yeah, I like the first one. The second one's got a couple chuckles, but the Minions movie is terrible.
It's so bad.
It's like it's borderline unwatchable, and then Despicable Me 3 is even worse. And it's got Trey Parker, who's like my favorite human being on this planet, and not even him can make it. It's all 80s themed, Randy. You wouldn't even like it.
Huh.
I remember when we first started making podcasts all the way back in, 2010 with Hat Trick Folly. We saw a trailer for Despicable Me with the little kid in the pyramid, and that's all they really gave us was that the pyramid was stolen. We're like, what the fuck is this movie? But I remember talking about it then and like how just intriguing that trailer was.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot. But yeah, I mean, obviously the franchise is quite alive and well, and it's one of those movies that has, you know, alternative revenue streams, you know, toys and, you know, food with branding on it and stuff like that. So,
sure, apparel.
I mean, Universal is making a fortune off those little yellow fuckers, and doesn't seem to be slowing down. I'm sure we'll get a million more.
Dude, Universal is making buku bucks. The decade from 2010 to like right now, they have made so much money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious alone brought in like $1 billion for them.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all testament to, you know, original programming, you know. They're all sequels now, but I mean, these are all properties that like they grew in-house at Universal. You know, they grew, they nurtured them, and, you know, they've grown into these huge things. You know, they don't have any superheroes. I mean, they have Kingsman, but that's not really, you know, superheroes. That's a comic book. It's not a superhero. You know, they just keep on chugging. You mentioned the Fast and the Furious franchise. You got the Minions franchise. They got the Dark Universe with the Mummy.
Oh, that's their miss.
Yeah. Maybe something will come from that. They also have those 50 Shades movies, which inexplicably make money, even though they're just terrible.
Yeah, they got it figured out.
Yeah. They got Pitch Perfect. Pitch Perfect 3 comes out in December and does not look so good. And I love Anna Kendrick. But yeah. This is one other short, real quick story. Drew Goddard, he wrote and directed Cabin in the Woods. He was supposed to be the showrunner for Daredevil. He was replaced at the last minute by Stephen McKnight so he could do other things. But he did write all of the first season of Daredevil. And so he is going to write and direct X-Force, which is going to star Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, Josh Brolin as Cable, along with a bevy of other mercenaries. It's kind of like a R-rated X-Men movie. And Justin, based off of the joy that was Deadpool, are you excited for X-Force, or are you afraid with Deadpool and Deadpool 2 that this might be just a little too much Deadpool? Maybe have other characters?
I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun. It'll give, there will be other characters that people aren't terribly familiar with. And, it's always fun when, a property like this is so powerful that it's able to sort of, rejuvenate characters that have been off the pages for a while, and they'll get, you know, their own new comic books and everything. So I don't know. I think it's good. Good for the gander.
Yeah. Good for the gander, good for the goose. Randy, is this a good way to introduce new characters? You know, people are going to come for Deadpool and Cable, and while they're there, you know, it gives Goddard and Fox an opportunity to showcase other characters and hopefully start new franchises with characters that they know and love.
Spin-off possibilities, why not? And honestly, I'm for anything that's going to give me more Deadpool, because I am one of those Deadpool fanboys right now that I love the first movie so much that I just am clamoring for more.
Ooh.
Can't you hear the clamoring in my voice?
I can hear the clamoring. It's an ongoing joke with my son, who's 10, who wants to see Deadpool, but obviously for reasons I will not let him. But I needed to do something with like my Deadpool screener, and so I had to like burn it onto my desktop. But I had to use his computer, not my computer. So he actually has had Deadpool on his computer for the last, like, year. And one day I'll show him that, oh, yeah, you had it all along, and he'll be pissed. So it's a fun insight into the Edmondson house. Just a bunch of dicks.
being I think they call it patricide when one kills one's father.
Well, hopefully that's not what happens. But, yeah, so that's all good news. But, yeah, anything else, guys?
That's all I got.
I do have something, actually.
Ooh, let's hear it.
This is a fun one. All right, so we're really big on Twitter. If you ever tweet to us, we always respond, and we have a good time. And long-time listener, first-time caller, freaking Stephen Alva Wood, our buddy from the Great White North, he sent us a tweet saying, huge shout-out to Akik Legacy for the amazing podcast during this season of Game of Thrones. Really complimented the show with hilarious commentary. And, Stephen, that is very sweet of you to say. Thank you for all your support over the years, and we got to have you on the show. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
You guys can geek out of horror stuff because I'm such a wuss and can't watch it.
Yeah, he's all into the horror movies.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, you should definitely check out Flippin' the Nerd, which is their YouTube show, and you'll see in his background that he likes the horror movies.
He does. He's got dead hookers in as his backdrops.
Yeah, I keep those off screen in my house.
Yeah,
just off screen.
So that's really cool. I'm glad that he enjoyed the podcast. We did a lot of Game of Thrones. Very, very heavy on the GOT.
Cool. We sure were. I definitely think when it comes back, we'll have to have a special, separate podcast of Game of Thrones instead of dedicating like 40 minutes of our 5-minute show to Game of Thrones.
Brutal.
But I mean, it was the zeitgeist. You know, that was the biggest story every week was Game of Thrones.
Yep, and the whole world's watching. My dead relatives are tuning in to Game of Thrones.
Wow, that's
it's intense.
You get reception down there?
We do. Oof. It's crazy. Pixelated has been off the airways for like the last 3 weeks, and I just want to say that it's 100% Steven's fault. Throwing him under the bus.
So everyone tweet at Steven K. Kane.
I have been ready every week, and something keeps coming up. He's either really sick, or he's got one of his 8 jobs that he goes to. But I am all ready every week, and then something happens. So I will not take the blame. And then he texts me at like, 11 o'clock at night. Hey, can you find a replacement for tomorrow? I'm like, fuck off. So hopefully we will have a show on Friday.
And if they don't, everyone, make sure you tweet at Stephen K. James.
Yes.
Get your shit together. Hashtag bring back Pixelated.
Yes. It's making me sad. There's so much to talk about. And he's busy lollygagging.
How dare he?
LGSOB.
Man, that Mario Rabbids game, man. My kids can't get enough of that fucking game.
Oh, really? They like it?
They're playing like crazy. It's pretty fun, but I mean, it's not like you would think that's... Yeah, I mean, it's it's a good game. It's not great. It's not... We're spending every second of every day playing like they want to do, but it's a fun enough game to where it's worth the money, but just want to throw some video game shit out there since Steven's not doing it.
Do they play the Splats? Do they Splatoon?
Yeah, they play Splatoon.
I hate how that's not couch co-op.
Yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment.
That is offensive.
Yeah, I wrongfully assumed that it had it, and that's my fault. I shouldn't. So it was kind of a bummer that we couldn't play together.
Yeah, what a waste. They're like, oh, just play with your friends. And it's like, okay, well, do you realize how hard it is to get a Nintendo Switch right now?
Right. My friends want to come over and play my Switch.
Yeah, I want to take it to the basketball court and play Splatoon.
Instead, like you advertised.
Yeah, now they're just going to watch me. That's not fun.
No one wants to do that.
No, I don't like it.
Lame. If I want a one-player game, I just play my Zelda.
Yeah, no kidding. Which I haven't even opened my Switch Zelda.
It's pretty good.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just everyone in the world says it's like the best game ever. But yeah, it's probably you're right. Yeah, it probably sucks.
Looks good in the box.
I've yet to hear a complaint. Actually, I have like two minor complaints, but that's...
yeah, I have one because I have it on the Wii U, and the goddamn Sheikah tablet iPhone thing that you have doesn't even work on the gamepad. It's just a black screen on the gamepad. The goddamn tablet that you use in the game is literally just like the Wii U gamepad. And they just totally aced it. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to have this.
Really?
Yeah. It's so dumb. There's no map. There's no, inventory. There's no nothing. So lame. It was made for it. And they just fucking say, fuck it.
We won't be able to buy it on the Switch.
Yeah. They just totally take out the functionality. So stupid.
Well, it's funny, with our Switch, we play it, we basically play it almost exclusively as like a portable console, like we have played in our rooms and stuff like that. The other day I put it on my TV and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot I can play it on my TV.
Yeah.
We've just been playing it portable so often.
We just do the Mario Karts.
Yeah, it's a fun game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The SNES Classic comes out this month.
Yeah, gotta start spamming the Amazon and the Target and...
Yeah.
Pray to God. I went and lit a candle. So, we'll see.
I got mines.
Gotta play your Star Fox 2.
Yeah, probably not. If it was that good, it would have came out years ago.
Well, it looks like it was just, it became Star Fox 64.
Right, I know. I'm just joking. Which is probably one of the best games ever.
Yeah. But it's funny to see like the little 8-bit like Walker type guy. Mm-hmm. So it just looks kind of funny on an 8-bit or 16-bit.
16, yeah. It's double.
But it does have the FX whatever.
The FX chip.
Yeah, the FX chip. Yeah. Well, you ready? Anything else? Are you already asleep? And I'll call him the best color commentary man in the business. Nothing. Well, thank you guys for joining us for another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Like Justin was talking about, hit us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. We would love to hear anything you have to say. You love us, you hate us, you think we're just sons of bitches, whatever. We're game, and we can have some fun on Twitter together. And make sure you go to geeklegacy.com for your geek news and reviews. And until next week, we will talk to you later.